Amen. Amen. I want you to open your Bibles, if you would, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And what Brother Copeland was saying earlier in the service today about World War III and we are at war, it really dovetails into exactly what I wanted to talk to you about in this service today. And this is a supernatural warfare that is going on. It's with powers and principalities, rulers of the darkness of this world. But we're fully equipped. You and I are fully equipped for battle. And we have to have that mindset. Even our president said that he is a wartime president. And it really is. The whole world is involved in this. And there shall be no fear among us. We will not shrink back. We will not bow down. We'll not bow our knees to the name of coronavirus. But we believe that it's under the name of Jesus, and it has to bow its knee. And we are the victors in this. We are the victors by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And so today I want to talk to you about one of our major weapons, the weapon that we use in these times of battle. And first of all, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4, it says this, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." In the NIV translation, it says, "The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds." And the weapon that I want to talk to you about today is the weapon of the prophetic word. The weapon of the prophetic word. Prophetic words are weapons of our warfare. We need to know how powerful they are, how mighty they are. And really, since the beginning of this year, I've done an ongoing study of the office of the prophet. I have the benefit of serving a prophet and watching him and studying him and listening to him and understanding more about the office of the prophet. I also have the privilege of living with a prophet. It is amazing. It truly is amazing to know what it's like to live with a prophet, a prophetess that sees out into realms. A prophetess that even this morning, driving into church, got in the spirit and started talking about some things that the Lord wants us to do. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, there she goes. There goes the office of the prophet. And it's fascinating to me. It's absolutely fascinating to this pastor how the office of the prophet operates. And I want you to turn to Jeremiah chapter 1. I've been studying out of Jeremiah chapter 1 about Jeremiah and his place as a prophet. And looking at this, it really is, if you will, a job description of what a prophet does and the results of the prophetic word. And it says, starting in verse 4, "Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. And before you came forth out of the womb, I set you apart. I ordained you a prophet unto the nations." I think about Brother Copeland. I think about Terry. I think about others who this has been on them and in them all of their lives. And God is saying to Jeremiah, "I formed you in the belly. I knew you. When you came out, I set you apart. I sanctified you. I separated you. And I ordained you a prophet to the nations," a specific role that was given to Jeremiah. "But Jeremiah answered him and he said, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child." He did not know that the anointing would be enough for him to be able to do what he was fulfilled, called and to fulfill in his life. That anointing, he questioned it. He wondered about it. He wondered, am I able to do this? And the Lord said to him, and I really believe he said it in a very pointed, stern manner. "Don't say I'm a child. Don't say that. For you shall go to all that I shall send you. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. That's what a prophet does. He speaks these words that come out of the heart of God. I've been listening to a message by Brother Hagin. He preached it in 1964. And I was up last night very late. I started transcribing it because it just, the Lord has just impressed me to learn more about this prophetic office. It's just intriguing to me, and it gives me greater insight into Brother Copeland, into my wife, into the operation of the prophet. And I'll just read a couple of things that Brother Hagin said about the prophet's office. First of all, he quoted Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. In verse 12 in the Amplified, it says, his intention was the perfecting and the full equipping of the saints, his consecrated people, that they should do the work of ministering toward building up Christ's body, the church. So that's that's what we all do in the fivefold ministry. That's what we're involved in. But listen to this. This is a description, but Brother Hagin, based on a visitation of the Lord that took place many years before that, a prophet is one who speaks by divine or direct inspiration and immediate revelation. It is not something that he has thought of himself, but it comes at the spur of the moment. He speaks out by sudden inspiration. But Brother Hagin talked about this. He said a prophet prepares himself to speak. Brother Copeland prepares himself to speak. Pastor Terry prepared to speak this morning in Faith Foundations. But as I was watching her and listening to her, she was speaking out of the office of the prophet. Now, Brother Copeland has taught us this, that pastors who are partners and connected with a prophet can speak revelation on the level of a prophet. So I take that. I believe for that. I want God speaking through me to you. I pray for you. I spend most all of my Saturday praying for you. Lord, what do you want to say? What do you want to speak? And I find myself in the midst of speaking, and there's sudden inspiration that comes to say something that I didn't think I was going to say, or down here on the notes. Well, a prophet operates that way. He prepares himself to speak. They study, they make notes, they make outlines, they have in their mind an idea of what to speak. Then the anointing comes, and they begin to say things they don't have written down. Brother Hagin said, there are things that have come out of my mouth, and as he said, things that will come out of Brother Hagin's mouth, and he'll say, who said that? That was divine inspiration at the spur of the moment. So that just gives you a little bit of insight. Here, he said, Jesus appeared to me in a vision in 1958. He talked to me for an hour and a half about the ministry of the prophet. He told me that for one to stand in that office, he would have to have at least two of the revelation gifts in manifestation plus prophecy. So we're getting understanding of the importance of the prophetic word. And I've seen it with Brother Copeland. Every time I hear him speak, he was standing up here just a little while ago, and he was operating out of the office of the prophet. Teaching, prophesying, declaring, it's all on him, in him, to do that. And so prophecy is a weapon. Look at this. It says, and before we get to that part, in verse 8, the Lord said to Jeremiah, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. He was warning him that you're going to do things and say things that people don't like. We've been experiencing that. We've been seeing that happen as the result of the words that are being spoken. And I'll get into that in just a moment. But he was saying to them, don't be afraid of their faces. You speak what I tell you to speak. He said, then the Lord put forth his hand and he touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. That is so important. So important. As a pastor, I long for that. I want that. I'm hungry for that. And that's part of the prophet's office, that God puts words in the mouth of the prophet. Now, here we go. Here's the weaponry. See, I have this day set you over nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build, and to plant. How are those things done? They're done with words, primarily. They are done with words, and they have the power, the prophetic word, and the word of God, the word of the Lord, his word spoken by faith. You are the prophets of your own lives. You are the prophets of your own homes. You can declare the word. You can declare forth what God wants for your household. You change the tide of the direction by the words that you're declaring and the words that you're speaking. Those words will come up and out of you, and they'll go ahead of you, turn around, and wait for you. They will bid you to come. They will bid you to come. When you declare the word of abundance in your life, that word comes out of you, it goes out ahead of you, it prepares the way, and it bids you, says, come on, come on, just follow me. Follow me. They set the boundaries of our lives. But in the prophetic realm, these are words that are declared for realms and spheres and nations on a very high degree. Very high degree. And I've watched Brother Copeland over the years as he has progressed in this. With every decade, there's a new anointing. And we've all seen the change in him when he turned 80 years old. That boldness, that strength, he's saying things that we're not used to hearing. Powerful things that are changing the spheres. One of the things I was talking to Jesse Duplantis about some weeks ago, months now ago, he was talking about how Brother Copeland is a prophet to this nation. I can see that. It's very clear. It's very plain. And what the prophet can do is to rule over or to be set over a kingdom or a realm and root out the things that need to be rooted out. Pull down. Pull down. Wind. Destroy. Coronavirus. Throw down. Build. Plant. All of those are weapons that we wage war with. Turn to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. We wage war with the prophetic word. That's what we do. It is a powerful, powerful weapon. The prophetic word will change nations. The example that I've used before has been the Berlin Wall. And when the Berlin Wall had been up and functioning for many, many years, and Brother Copeland had a word from the Lord calling that down, calling it down. And it was about 186 days later that it came down. Well, that's a powerful word. What did it do? It destroyed something. It pulled down something. And the unction of the Spirit of God was on him. I would have to ask him, but I would dare say that he was probably not thinking about that the day that he delivered that word. I don't think perhaps he was in his study writing down, I think we'll call down the Berlin Wall. I don't think it was like that. It was on the spur of the moment. On the spur of the moment. So I was reading about this in Timothy. And in Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 1, and look at verse 18. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on you, that you by them might war a good warfare. That word war there means fight. Fight. I read the Amplified translation in verse 18. This charge and admonition I commit in trust to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with the prophetic intimations which I formerly received concerning you, so that, inspired and aided by them, you may wage a good warfare. So we're getting more understanding about these prophetic words and how powerful they are, so that inspired by them, aided by them, you might wage a good warfare. The New Living Translation. Timothy, my son, here are my instructions for you. Based on the prophetic words spoken about you earlier, may they help you fight well in the Lord's battles. So these prophetic words are designed to help us in this battle that we are in, to wage a war, to fight the good fight of faith that we have before us. But there's something important that we must remember about the prophetic word, and I want you now to turn to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I'd like you to look at, and I'm going to put these two together. Yes, sir. Come on in.
Right after the Berlin Wall fell, there were German pastors that came to the United States and came to Tulsa because they were so hungry to meet Brother Hagin. They had been reading his books that had been smuggled in there. Of course, these are West German pastors.
Yes.
Now, George, they would walk down there.
Oh.
And
oh.
With a smile on their face, so nobody knew what they were doing. You're coming down and there'll be no bloodshed.
Wow. I did not know.
Every
that.
Day you're coming down and there'll be no bloodshed.
Oh.
You're coming down and there'll be no bloodshed. Now I don't know how long they did that, but they had those books of Brother Hagin's that had been that had come into West Germany. On the word of faith, you have what you say.
Yes, yes.
Well, the only thing that happened in this, not the only thing, but the process was what they were saying, what they kept saying to that wall.
Right.
Kept saying to that wall.
Oh, your mic's off.
There you got one. Forgive me, sir. What they kept saying, that is better. What they kept saying to that wall, you're coming down and there'll be no bloodshed. You're coming down and there'll be no bloodshed. Now, this pictures the role of the pastor and the prophet. They kept saying
it. Yes, working together.
They kept talking to it.
Yeah.
You're coming down and there's no bloodshed. You're coming down, there'll be no bloodshed. And suddenly, it just came on me. There was another couple of things at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But now,
yeah.
And said, I just heard the Spirit of the Lord say, the Berlin Wall, will fall. No, the Berlin Wall will come down.
Will come down.
The Berlin Wall will come down.
Yeah, yeah.
And there were two other things. That
you said the Berlin Wall will come down. Mm-hmm. There will be other walls that come down. There will be other walls that will go up, and this will be a sign. This will be a sign.
This powerful wind, I heard the Lord in my interceding for it. I heard this very plainly. This is a sign and a wonder.
It is. Oh, it is. Yes.
It is a sign and a wonder.
Yeah.
And somebody said, well,
Why didn't you remember to say that this morning? Well, George, these things come up in my spirit,
yes,
and they don't come through my mind.
Yeah.
And you have to go back and pray in the spirit and gather those things together.
Yes.
Because the spirit of a being is the candle of the Lord.
Yes.
Not the mental part. It doesn't even come through your mind, as you know. But when it does, it's going to be in response to somebody's faith.
Ah.
Not just mine,
yeah,
or any other
right.
Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. These things didn't work for the Apostle Paul because he was an apostle. Hmm. They worked for him because he's a believer. He used his faith.
Yes.
Without using your faith, any born again child of God,
right,
can prophesy.
Yes.
The apostle said, I would that you all prophesy.
Mm-hmm.
Exhortation, edification, and comfort. To prophesy doesn't necessarily mean to foretell.
Right. Yeah.
But the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom.
Yes, sir.
Laid on top of
prophetic
utterance. Now you've moved over into the word of knowledge about the now, and word of wisdom about the future, and the, you know, they the only reason we divide them up is so we can study them. But they,
right,
the Spirit of God has something to say. It's going to cross a lot of lines.
Right.
It'll have a word or two of the word of knowledge, and there'll be wisdom in there, and there'll be edification in there, and there'll be comfort in there, and there'll be healing in there, because it's His word.
Yes. Yeah.
Amen.
Come back and see me.
Okay.
1 Thessalonians 5:20. This is important. This is important. And take note of this. This was being written to a body of believers. These are believers that he was talking to. And I'll look at verse 19. It says, quench not the spirit. And I think it's interesting that verse 19 and 20 are right there together. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. Despise not prophecies. Don't despise them. And so I was looking up that word despise. First of all, I looked up in one translation. It says, do not despise prophetic utterances. Don't despise them. So I looked up the word despise, and it means to hate. Don't hate them. Don't refuse them. Don't disdain prophecies. The NIV translation says, do not treat prophecies with contempt. So I looked up the word contempt. It's the feeling that a person or thing is beneath consideration, is worthless, and is deserving of disrespect. That's what contempt is. And he's exhorting the Thessalonians, do not treat prophecies with contempt. Don't count them as worthless or undeserving of respect. The Knox translation says, do not hold prophecy in low esteem. Do not esteem it lightly. That's why these prophecies that we've been receiving concerning COVID-19, they are not to be taken lightly. They're not to be esteemed lightly. In the Amplified translation, it says, do not quench, suppress, or subdue the Holy Spirit. Do not spurn the gifts and utterances. What you do is you quench the Holy Spirit when you spurn the utterances of prophecy. You're quenching the Holy Spirit when you disdain prophecy. When you look at it and say, this is stupid, this is crazy, this is ridiculous. And he's talking to believers. He's talking to believers. So do not quench or suppress or subdue the Holy Spirit. Do not spurn the gifts and utterances of the prophets. Do not depreciate prophetic revelations, nor despise inspired instruction or exhortation or warning. Don't despise it. And the last one here from the CEV translation, do not ignore prophecies. Don't ignore them. Certainly, around here, we do not want to ignore the prophecies that have been received about COVID-19. But what about the mocking, Pastor George? What about the people that are making fun of us? I was on YouTube the other day and I was scrolling through and there's an image of Brother Copeland and myself and they discolored it. And there I am standing next to the prophet. Well, I'm glad I'm standing next to the prophet. I appreciate that. It's good to be in the same boat with him. But they're making light of this. But you know, the world doesn't know any better. They really don't. Turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I'm going to look at verses 12 through 14, but I want to start with verse 14 first. The world doesn't know any better. The things that we do appear to be strange to them. It says in verse 14, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. People who are discerning, and I know that we have many, many, many who are spiritually discerning, and they'll take a word like believing for a heat wave in the same way you do for rain. And I know there are people going for it. Why? Because they get it. They understand it. They see it. They're familiar with the Word of God. They're familiar with what prophets did in the Old Testament, even what prophets did in the New Testament. They're familiar with that and they understand the operation of the prophet. And it does seem unusual to the natural mind, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. The Amplified Bible says this, but the natural, non-spiritual man does not accept or welcome or admit into his heart the gifts and teachings and revelations of the Spirit of God. The natural, non-spiritual man. Now, there can be people who profess to be believers who are natural, non-spiritual. They can fit into that category as well. Because they are folly or meaningless nonsense to him. For he's incapable of knowing them, of progressively recognizing, understanding, and becoming better acquainted with them because they are spiritually discerned and estimated and appreciated. So it is understandable when the mockers mock the prophetic word, the unbelievers don't acknowledge God. We understand that. We even understand Governor Andrew Cuomo. I get it. I get it. I see it. He said Monday that people, not God, are responsible for the fact that COVID-19 cases in his state have plateaued. He said, and I quote, God did not do that. Faith did not do that. A lot of pain and suffering did that. We do not discount the essentials who are working, the doctors, the nurses, the hospitals. We, as a matter of fact, have been part of the outreach into them. There's a doctor that we know in New York that through him, we were able to give finances to pay for the protective equipment that that hospital needed, New York Presbyterian Hospital. We were able to take from our funds and buy the masks and the clothing and the necessary things that they need. We also did that with two hospitals in New Jersey through a precious connection there. Through Dan and Ann Stratton and their doctor, Dr. Daughter, who works at these two hospitals. So we were able to help them. So we're not against that and we're not against the doctors. Praise God for them. Thank God for what they're doing. All we want to do is help and be of the assistance that God has called us to. So we've been an assistance. In a number of ways, there are many things that are going on, many things that are taking place.
Let me remind the people of what happened there.
Yes.
In the New Jersey hospital connection. Now, the governor, mm-hmm. who is just simply ignorant of these things and he doesn't have any evidence to him, but like we've got inside information.
Yes, we do.
Now, to show you how God does work.
Yeah.
Now, George, this is supernatural.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
When I saw someone on television saying what they needed in New York, New Jersey, mm-hmm. in the way of some very expensive equipment. Man, I called you. I said, let's get a hold of Dan and Ann and, mm-hmm. and call Danielle.
Yep.
And I mean, we've been partners with the Stratton family. I remember Danielle was a baby. And now she's a medical doctor. Anyway.
Yes, she is.
So, and sure enough, she said, yes. I know right where we need these. It's over in New Jersey.
Yep.
They're in New York City. Mm-hmm. So we did all the things.
There we go, yeah.
And so she went over to the doctor in New Jersey that needed this so badly. You ready for this? When she got over there, she said, now, they're thinking all this. She said, but I want you to know now, it was Kenneth Copeland Ministries that helped us with this financially. She said, yeah. I've been a partner with Kenneth Copeland Ministries for years.
Yeah. 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 She said, we watched them. My husband and I watched them on TBN. We're partners with them. And she was, of all the people, she said, of all the hospitals and all the people everywhere that needed help, that the Lord chose this one for us to be connected with.
Now see, to us, that's a sign and a wonder.
It's a sign and a wonder.
Because I didn't know those people.
Yeah.
I just know the Strattons and how precious they are.
What a connection.
But we had a partner over there that was crying out to God.
Yeah.
And so God said, okay, Right.
Well, the point being is that we are endeavoring to help. We're certainly not against the doctors, the nurses.
Oh,
not at all.
We're trying to help them.
We're trying to help them.
They're fighting the same sickness and disease that God fights.
Yes.
Amen. Yes. I remember this. God takes care of widows. And this seemed like a very simple thing. Mm-hmm. I really enjoy flying a little small light twin. And my favorite of all is the Beechcraft Baron. And no, I did not need a Baron. I'm flying a Citation 10. I didn't need the Baron. I just wanted to play with it. Mm-hmm. And thank you very much. I buy it with my money. You understand? Anyway, so... And I just decided, well, the airplane, I won't go into all that.
Yeah.
But I looked around a little bit for one and it wasn't around. And I had shown the one that I enjoyed.
Right.
I started to say, Lord, you know exactly where that airplane is that I'd like to have. And so, because that's what I've always prayed before.
Sure. Yes.
I don't.
Yes.
Anyway. I said, Lord, there's someone, this is prophetic, see. It just came out my mouth.
Oh,
yeah. At the moment.
Yeah.
Nothing serious on my end. I said, Lord, you have someone crying out to you right now that needs to sell their airplane. And I would like to be the answer to that problem. I never prayed that before or since. Somebody's in need.
Yeah. Yeah.
Somebody's in desperate need.
Yes.
And so I called a close friend of mine that's handled our aircraft operations and buying, selling for years and years and years. Charles Smithwick over in Little Rock. I called Charles, I said, and I told him that. And he said, hang on just a minute, Ken. He said, Bob, that Beech Baron and so forth, well, wasn't that a widow woman? He said, yeah, I believe it was. The widow woman's daughter is a member of Keith Moore's church.
Yes. Yeah.
She had asked the
the prayer,
because her dad just dropped dead suddenly. He's a businessman, but he used that airplane. He flew sick people to hospitals, and here's his widow woman, and we're right in the middle of a recession, and airplane prices had just gone to nothing, and she needed to pay bills, and her heart's broken. She's a spirit-filled widow. Did you see the connection?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
It's a prophetic connection.
God is big on prophets and widows.
Oh, yeah.
there's
because when that man went to heaven, Jesus became her husband. 54th chapter of Isaiah.
Yep. And he talked to you.
Yeah, he did. Now, see how the connection works?
Yeah.
Someone right now.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Someone right now is listening to God to supply what you need. I don't know where it's coming from.
Jesus.
Who cares? It'll be honest.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
But you cannot. You must not. And you cannot ever go around saying, "I don't know what I'm going to do."
No.
That's nothing. Yeah. Let me tell you what to do. Hush. That's what you're going to do. Long enough somebody very depressed over all this. I can tell you the 30-second cure for depression. I suffered from depression a lot. And did you ever notice, I know you have, that depression is a form of grief and it's fear-based. Mm-hmm. And somebody said, "Well, let's praise God." You just rather do anything to praise than praise God. It's pressure to just don't. No. What you need to be doing is worrying and crying about this. I don't have any money, no place to get any. Nobody loves me anyway, and ain't nobody cares. God acts like He doesn't care. No, here's the cure. Glory to God! That's just how it'll go that fast.
Yeah.
It will go that fast. But you have to do it. And yet, glory to God. No, that won't get it. That won't work. Well, glory to God. No, that won't work.
No.
Would you like to try a little experiment here?
Sure.
Say this and say it boldly. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. You do it too. He knows how. You understand? And if you don't do it, maybe that's the reason you got problems, because you don't obey what the ministry's telling you to do. You love me, don't you? So let's just experiment.
Okay. All right.
Greater is He that is in me than He that is in the world. Now check this right here.
Ooh.
Now wait a minute. Mm. Let's do it again.
Okay. Yeah.
Only this time we're going to do it like David.
Yeah.
You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Glory to God. That's the first thing you want to do. Glory to God.
That's it.
Glory to God.
Yeah.
That's the way you have to talk to the devil.
Ooh.
That's the way you have to talk to COVID-19. Hallelujah.
That's right.
You can't up with it.
No.
I just don't know why God doesn't have any more pity on me.
Bold.
It doesn't work.
Bold.
Yeah, but I don't feel it. When you don't feel it is when you really need to do it.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
In a time like this, particularly when you've been closed up, and in some places, because of lack of understanding by leadership and so forth. Thank God for where we live here, George. We got a godly man for governor. We got a godly woman as mayor of the city of Fort Worth. And we've got godly people in Tarrant County. Mm-hmm. And it's a really different thing. But some places, they just want you to stay in the house whether you need to or not.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Well, stick your head out the door. You can go out on the front porch. Amen. Right there in your own living room. But you have to do it. Those things which you have both learned and seen in Pastor and me, do them.
That's it.
They don't work if you don't do them.
Yeah.
And there's something about Jesus did not say, Lazarus, come forth.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Said it with a loud voice. Somebody said if you hadn't called him by his name, everybody knows him. That graveyard had come up.
Right.
Man at the top of his voice. Because words are not communications. Words are vessels of power. And faith-filled words dominate the laws of sin and death. But it's not the whispered word that dominates it.
No, it's the bold word.
It's the bold, powerful word that comes from down in here. Not shallow, but down in here, in the very lower being, the innermost, innermost, the innermost being. But in some cases, the Bible calls it the belly. I mean, somebody says, boy, that came out of your guts. Well, that's just exactly where it came from.
Yeah.
Right in here.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Help me finish this.
Yes, sir.
David, could we have Brother Copeland's Bible? I talked about Governor Cuomo, but we see things in a different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And it says in verses 12 and 13 of 1 Corinthians 2, it says, now we have not received the Spirit that belongs to the world, but the Holy Spirit, who is from God, given to us that we might realize and comprehend and appreciate the gifts of divine favor and blessings so freely and lavishly bestowed on us by God. And we are setting these truths forth in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Holy Spirit, combining and interpreting spiritual truths with spiritual language to those who possess the Holy Spirit.
Praise God. Where are you?
I'm at 1 Corinthians 2, verses 12 and 13.
Oh, yeah.
Where it says, we've not received, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might freely know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual.
But the natural...
The natural man.
Now, this does not mean just the natural, unborn again man. He's not concerned.
Yeah.
He's not concerned with people that are not new Christians. He's writing this
to the church.
He's writing this, born again.
Yes, he is.
Holy Ghost baptized tongue. These people got in trouble for talking in tongues.
Yes.
So but he also said they come behind in no good gift. So the natural carnal minded person does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolish to him, neither can they know them. Neither can they have a relationship with those words.
Yes.
They can't know them.
Yeah.
Well, I know that. No, you don't. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I've heard that before. Yeah. No, you haven't. No, that's just the carnal mind. Well, you mean he's going to... I know that, Copeland. He's probably going to talk about you have what you say again. And I've heard that over and over. You never heard it in your life.
Yeah, that's right.
You haven't heard it.
Yep.
Faith cometh by hearing.
Yep. That's like that man that said to Brother Hagin, when are you going to get off from Mark 11 and teach something else? And Brother Hagin said, when you get it.
When you get this.
Yeah. And then there's the man that had been hearing that, Mark 11, 23, 24, and right in the middle of a meeting that Brother Hagin was having, he jumped up and shouted, I got it!
I got it!
I got it! I got it!
Yeah. Now he knows it.
Now he knows it.
Now he has a relationship with it. Yeah. Now he has an understanding that he didn't have 30 seconds before.
Right.
And he'd heard that over and over. And Brother Hagin said, well, you know, I've taught that and preached this, and all this week, and I intended to preach something else, and the Lord said, no, you preach that again. Mm-hmm. But Lord, I preached it over. No, you preach it again today, on Sunday. Yeah. You preach it again today.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that guy had been there for 10 days, and he came back on Sunday. He's an attorney, I think.
Yeah.
Came back on Sunday. I got it. He had to hear it 12 or 13 times in a row for it to get from here to here. And once it dropped down in there,
yes.
Now I have it.
Isn't that the same thing that happened to the lame man that Paul was preaching to, and he said, I perceive.
Oh, yeah.
You have faith to be healed. That man had been there. I believe he was in those meetings. Over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And Paul perceived. Paul saw it in him.
And he got it because they were preaching the gospel.
Yeah, that's right.
And he'd never walked his life.
Yeah.
But he kept hearing that and hearing that and hearing that. And all of a sudden, he got it.
He got it.
And the apostle perceived it. And what did he do? No. He shouted with a loud voice.
Yes, he did. Yeah.
He shouted with a loud voice.
Yep. Yeah.
Get up on your feet.
Get up. That's right.
He jumped before he had time to think. And he did. He walked off.
It clicked.
My father in the faith, Oral Roberts, you spent a lot of time with him. Every time I bring him up, I miss him, man.
I do too.
And he had a way of saying it. Mm-hmm. He said, you don't have it until it gets down in your knower.
Ah, yes.
Remember that?
Yeah. Yeah.
He said, and you hear it and you hear it and you hear it again and again and again and you hear it and you hear it. And then you get it. And suddenly, you just know that you know that you know
that you know
that you know
that you know
you know you know.
Yeah.
You just know that you 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 really know that you know that you know. Know what, Brother Roberts? That you know you're healed.
Yep.
Yeah. Now there came a time. Now, George. When I accepted the Lord, I knew it. He changed me in 10 seconds.
Yeah.
From a mouthful of profanity, and in 10 seconds, I never used it again. And I was aware of it. I said, and there was a sensation of it that it was, my mouth was full. And all I said was, Jesus, come into my heart. And the glory of the Lord just shook me. And my mouth had the sensation of being square shaped. And somebody said, it's probably because it's square like that Dial soap bar your mother used to stick in there.
Yeah.
But the Lord took it completely, separated from me. Now, there were other things I didn't have any separation from.
Yeah.
And one of the, as you've heard my testimony before, I was addicted to cigarettes. Man, I'd throw them out. I was just so disgusted with those things, man. I wanted free from that. I'd throw them out and then go out there and look for them in the weeds, just cry and think, what an idiot I am. But you have to know the truth, and the truth make you free. I went to a meeting. Didn't have money enough for glory to come. And then I thought, you know, I'm going to be down there around Charles Rogers and Hilton Sutton and these great men of God. And yeah. I'm not going to carry these cigarettes around. And I just stuck them up sunbutt.
Yeah.
And got in there. Well, these are word of faith men. And we got in there, and man, I was there 2 weeks. And just the word, just, oh, man. And a man walked up to me, and Copeland handed me a book full of money. Go get your wife. I said, yes, sir.
Yeah.
Man, I went
yeah.
out there and got yeah. in that car, and I well, look at that.
yeah.
Now, the word separated me.
Yeah, it did.
Because I knew.
Was that the same time that the tobacco rained down on
yeah,
you?
Yeah, they dried out.
It just rained all over you.
Sprinkled down my face. And, come on, I just threw them out the window. That's the end of that.
Brother Copeland, David, musicians, come up here, and I want you to see this. We were given prophetic weapons to wage warfare against COVID-19.
Yes, sir.
And in spite of the criticism, we keep pressing into these words. And I had this scripture, the last scripture, Galatians 6:9, in Amplified. Let us not lose heart and grow weary and faint in acting nobly and doing right. For in due time and at the appointed season we shall reap if we do not loosen or relax our courage and faint.
And what does due time mean? If I'm a cotton farmer, I know when to plant. I know when it's time. I know when it's time to cultivate. I know when it's time to plant. I know when it's time to put the machinery in the field, because that's due season. I know when it's coming.
You know.
Yeah. A person that grows fruit, he knows exactly. He knows when the due season of this is. When? When it's ripe.
When it's ripe.
You water it with praise, you sow it, and you praise God, and you stand and you stand. When is the due season? When you know that you know that you know.
Yes.
And it's there. But you just keep doing it. You just keep doing it. And faith comes, and faith comes, and faith comes. Gloria calls it faith when it boils over.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's why we have to stay on this.
And don't faint.
We can't
don't
let go.
Faint.
We cannot
you
let go.
You don't go out there and say, well, for some reason or other, what's the matter? And go out there and dig your seed up.
Yeah.
Why are you not growing?
Yeah.
It's not due season.
Yeah.
Just keep watering it. Just keep saying it and keep saying it. And supernaturally, you can get that season quickly. It doesn't depend on the natural progress. It depends on the praise and worship of your mouth.
Yeah, miracle grow. That's what it does.
That's good. Miracle growth.
So I saw us, and I want you to stand right now. Stan and David, I want you to begin to play. And look at this, Brother Copeland. We're going to water this seed right now. These are our weapons. We were given weapons on Friday, March the 13th, 2020. This disease called COVID-19 will be over much sooner than you think. We take that. Christian people all over this country praying have overwhelmed it. Give me all the glory, saith the Spirit of grace.
We give you the glory.
And many, many people will come to know me through it.
Yes.
I am still Lord over the nation, and I am on the throne, and faith in me changes
glory,
things.
Glory, glory, glory.
Oh, glory, glory, glory.
Glory, glory, glory.
Glory to God.
We worship you.